The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Nick.
How can you be so calm like that? You're supposed to say, poke the hornet's nest, run, we're ready to sting.
We already have one hyperactive co-host. I don't need to have two.
Are you talking about Carl that way?
No. Carl is very subdued. You are a ball of energy for somebody who's 96 years old.
That's okay. You're going to be 96 one of these days. They'll be pushing you in here in a wheelchair. Your tongue's going to be hanging out. Can I catch that drool for you?
You'll be like 147 by then, so that would make you very old. Good morning, Nick.
We were just a few minutes late getting this turned on. Christina doesn't realize that she's so pretty, she doesn't need to primp for the radio.
And she's been sick, so let's give her a little leeway today. She was sick, and she's came in, so thank you very much.
She does a wonderful job, and she got in an argument with Doug LaMalfa.
Well, and she's got a sign on her window that says, I'm sorry. Don't apologize, Christina, for just being you. You're lovely. You're beautiful. So, good morning, Rick. What are we doing today? What are we poking? Who are we pissing off? Who are we making happy? What are we doing?
Tanisa Audette.
Oh.
Tanessa. Oh, man, she picked a fight with Aaron Hatch.
Yes.
She and Julie Winter.
Yes. I've got some insight, too, in terms of not what I know, but I've heard that it's getting to be a little bit interesting.
Oh, boy, the last meeting was very interesting. The meeting before that, 2 weeks earlier this last Tuesday, Julie Winter and Tanessa, it was just the end of the world what Chairman of the Planning Commission, Aaron Hatch, had said something, had offended somebody. Jeremy, he's ahead of some damn thing. And the city attorney, to where I think they were going to solicit Donald Trump to find some bodyguards as Aaron Hatch had attacked him so viciously, verbally, viciously. I mean, this was unforgivable. So this meeting, this last Tuesday, they're going to hash this out, and I have no doubt they thought they were going to get rid of Aaron Hatch. And there was something like, I think it was 26 or 27 speakers that got up there and defended him eloquently, most of them. We've got the first clip coming up, and this is a gal named Leah Tate, and I have never heard such an eloquent 3 minutes for public comment defending somebody. And I was just amazed because I says, oh boy, here comes a liberal. She's going to be all over this Hatch fella. I've never met him. So can we play that tape?
Council members, Madam Mayor, city staff, and community members, my name is Leah Tate, and I'm a clinical psychologist and a business owner in Reading. I'd like to preface my comments by stating that I'm speaking today as a concerned community member. I rarely make comments at board meetings and city council meetings because I know how difficult it is to weigh information provided by reports, sift through the public comments, engage in fruitful conversation, and make a solid decision to reflect a thoughtful conclusion. I also know that most of you came into this meeting today already knowing exactly how you plan to vote on this matter. As a current president of a state board, I fully understand the ease of knowing how you actually plan to vote, walking into a meeting versus listening to the community with an open mind and weighing all the options. And that's why I'm here today. I have repeatedly listened to the comments and questions during the April 9th, 2024 Reading Planning Commission meeting. Mr. Hatch allegedly made divisive, accusatory remarks and is creating a toxic environment on the commission. I listened 4 times to the comments, and I have to admit I'm thoroughly confused. All I heard and saw was a board chair expressing his concern regarding how information was conveyed. There is no way that a reasonable person would state that Mr. Hatch's conduct on April 9th was anything but respectful, direct, and professional. In the video, you can visibly see he's struggling to find the correct words to express his disappointment, surprise, and concern. Madam Mayor, you have been quoted in the paper as stating that the council has oversight of the Planning Commission. Isn't a commission supposed to ask questions, make comments, discuss difficult subjects, and report back to the council? Don't you want individuals who speak their mind intelligently and in an articulate manner? Don't we need different opinions to move forward? Don't we want our elected leaders to do what's best for our entire community and promote intelligent discourse? If you continue to remove people from volunteer positions because you disagree with their thoughts or opinions, it feels more like a dictatorship to me. What you've done is focus unnecessary attention on a longstanding community member who has served on the Planning Commission for years and is currently the chair, and because you do not like the comments, you feel that imminent removal is appropriate. This is not a display of leadership or a pathway to earning respect from the community. There are no easy choices, only thoughtful decisions. Martin Luther King said it best, it's always the right time to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tate.
Wow.
She and I probably express ourselves better on the dais up there addressing on mostly supervisors than anybody I've ever heard.
Wow, that's a good. You put yourself in some pretty good company, she
is. I wish I could be in that company.
Well, you know what's funny is our last show, we actually played the clip that caused all the holy hell, and I didn't hear a single thing that was. He just simply wanted to be able to state his opinion to the city council, and dictator Odette and Commie Winters decided that that's enough to get him removed from the position. And I think they're going to find that they might have picked the wrong fight.
They, they did remove Cameron Middleton,
which really
and
is amazing.
Maxim Parton, I believe, is his mm-hmm. name. For no reason. I mean, they should be.
Well, no, that's
on
a
there.
Big reason. They want to put their Bethelite people in there. And again, Bethel is Bethel. But, I mean, it's funny how it's getting loaded up with people specifically attached to that church. And Cameron is young, ambitious, knowledgeable, and he was doing a great job. And why they just removed him, even though he wanted to stay, I don't know.
Oh, in my opinion, he was against them giving away the Civic Auditorium and the Posse Grounds down there to that group. And he's with the Asphalt Cowboys, the Reading Rodeo Association.
Well, that's enough to get him kicked off, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And it was a split vote, 3-3, on accepting the new riverfront plan, voting along with that, the new general plan, whatever. And that's why they kicked him off. He didn't agree with Julie and Tanessa. And let me I should have set this up a little bit earlier. When the meeting started, Tanessa Audette went on for 13 minutes about how Hatch had done everybody bad, that he shouldn't be on there. He's insulted the attorney. He's insulted some guy named Jeremy, who's a big cheese down there. And she just went on and on and on about what a dirty, rotten, lowdown, polecat coyote this guy is. And then he got the opportunity to speak, but he only got 3 minutes. And when he got done, you can hear that ding, 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 ding. And oh, I just thought that was slimy as heck. He should have had the opportunity to speak as much as he wanted to speak to defend himself. And he did a wonderful job defending himself.
Well, you know, when you are a self-appointed dictatoress, you get to speak to the masses and say your piece, but the people that you're accusing, you can't let them speak because that might undermine your diktat. So it doesn't surprise me. Folks, just keep in mind, if Tanessa Audette was elected to the state assembly, you're getting a true politician that will sell her soul and do whatever to backstab everybody just to step up to the next rung of power. Just be aware of that.
It's my opinion that she believes she was elected to tell us what to do, not represent us.
That's what a politician is a general rule. They think they have to tell us what to do, and I think that is what is missing, is they're supposed to. I think people get into politics with the idea they want to do good. I think as a rule, if we went back, 73.22% say they want to get in and make things better, and then they get into the system and they get into the grind and they get into the corruption, because it is corrupt. When you hear what's going on at not just local but state and at federal, these people get in there, and I think they went in with good intentions, and that changed them. I think Audette did the exact opposite. I think she went in there with the idea that she was going to tell us what she was going to do.
And she hasn't changed.
No. And I think, and that's what we're going to be getting. So just keep that in mind.
So we had 27 speakers go up there, and most of them spoke for 3 minutes. Most of them weren't quite as elegant as Leah Tate, but they were darn close. So it was a very educated group of people, all different walks of life. It was surprising. And when it was all done, then the counselors, they discuss it among themselves. Mark Mazzano, he asked Jeremy, do you think you can work with Aaron Hatch now? Yes, they had made up. They had spoken. And do you think you can work with the city attorney? And the attorney said, yes, we can work together. We've put this behind us. We've spoken. We can move forward. So let's play what Mike DeQuisto said here. I mean, everybody's demanding an apology from Aaron Hatch. So let's go with that second clip.
Thank you. I just had a couple comments. I reviewed the video, and I don't think Mr. Hatch said anything that was inappropriate. If anything, he was very respectful. If you could get kicked off council for saying inappropriate things, I'd probably be the first one to get kicked off on some of the things that I've said. Firstly, I'm elected, and they can't do that. I do think that it's part of staff's job to listen to comments, especially from volunteers on the Planning Commission, and to accept it as part of their job duties and not take it personally. And apparently that's all been resolved and taken care of, which I think is a good thing to do. I would ask, and it's up to the council members, but I would ask the two council members that voted to terminate Mr. Hatch at the last meeting and basically blindsided him, I think he's owed an apology. And if they don't want to do it publicly, they can do it privately. It's up to them. But I think he is owed an apology. And I would second Mr. Mazzano's request that if Mr. Hatch has any desire to run for city council, there'll be some seats coming up next November, and I think he'd be a good candidate. And as far as Mr. Mazzano's motion, currently Mr. Hatch is still on the Planning Commission, so we don't need,
we don't need a motion
to keep him on. Is that right?
We do not.
Okay.
We do not. Council Member Munns.
So anyway, that's the way Mike DeQuisto reads it.
Maybe one of the few that had his mind most.
That just threw me off. Anyway, you know.
Bring it back, Joe. Bring it back. Come on, Sleepy. Come back with me. We're on Pocahontas Nest Sunday morning. Come on. I see your eyes rolling.
Is it Sunday already?
You're almost here. Come on, Joe. Bring it.
Okay, so we've got Tanessa coming up, and Mike DeQuisto did a good job of pointing out who probably would be the villain in this situation.
Well, and you know what's funny is I feel vindicated if Mr. DeQuisto lets me jump on his backpack. It's because I listened to that video when you and I watched it before I came in the day we played it, and we played it here on the radio, and I didn't hear a single thing that Mr. Hatch said that was at all divisive, that inflammatory. So when Mr. DeQuisto said that, I was like, good. I'm not the only one that didn't see something that did not exist. But apparently Audette and Winters feel that they need to stack that Planning Commission so they can steal the rodeo grounds, is my opinion.
Yes, that's absolutely. And I think Kutras' property plays into it.
Oh.
They want to tell him how to develop Park Marina all the way from Cypress Bridge on up to Turtle Bay. He owns all that, he and his sister.
Oh, yes, I know. I think it's Chris Kutcher. I think.
Yeah. And it looks to me like they want to tell him what he can do with his property.
I think that Chris needs to tell them what they can do.
Well, you know, they've got that River End down there that's been boarded up now for quite a few years. I understand his sister owns it. I suggested they make a homeless campus out of that.
Oh, that would be horrible, Nick.
I think it'd be hilarious.
Oh, I drive in by that every day. I'm telling you, that would give Reading such a red reputation as if people are going to the Sundial Bridge to look left and see an entire pile of poo of the lowest denominator in society.
Now, hold on. It's a hotel. It's a motel. There's rooms. It used to be where people stayed when they came to Reading.
That.
There's a swimming pool. There's a restaurant there. I mean, it could be self-contained.
It could be.
You know, speaking of the homeless, I'm going to go off subject here. The city of Reading has decided that they wanted to give the Goodwill Rescue Mission a $3 million forgivable loan to build a homeless center.
A daycare or something like
that.
There
it is, yes. Yeah. And they've had workshops on it, and they had a workshop a week or two ago and invited the homeless in to see what they wanted. And a friend of mine went to it. They wanted jacuzzis. They wanted a swimming pool. And it was said that they got $8 million to help the homeless, and they had all kinds of requests.
Well, did you see what's going on in Denver?
No.
Oh, in Denver, it's beautiful. Oh, God, you got to love liberals. Not. In Denver, which was all welcoming sanctuary city, they brought in all these immigrants, and not the homeless, but the immigrants. And now the city is running out of money. It's costing millions upon millions of dollars weekly, apparently, to house these immigrants. But the immigrants have given a long list of demands, or they won't get out of this shelter. And it includes they have to have free health care, free schooling, money, monthly money. I mean, this list goes on, or they won't talk to, and they're demanding they must talk to the mayor.
I saw that list.
So, you know, when you're at the lowest edge of society or you're here illegally, I guess you can make demands on the United States public and expect them to be answered. So it doesn't surprise me the homeless put out a list of really nice things that they wanted. I mean, well, I would.
You know, I forget which country it is in Europe, but they brought up measles. The immigrants, they brought in measles. They had 1,000. This country had 1,000 cases last year. They had 40,000 cases right now.
TB is raging in parts of our country from the and I say raging in terms of numbers. We almost eradicated it. Now it's back and it's going in because we're not immune to it like we were. And so TB, they brought it in with them. They brought the disease with them.
Let's get back to the city council. I've got two more clips. Let's play clip number three. This is Tanessa beating around the bush. Go, Tanessa.
I also met with Aaron and really had hoped that he would apologize. I think that Jeremy Pagan deserves an apology. I think that the issue with our city attorney could have been resolved at that meeting. What I would have liked to see and what I said to him at our meeting was, it would have been better if you had asked, because I think it's a learning, all of these boards, you're constantly learning. People are coming on at different times. And if he had said, hey, that situation did not feel good, could you explain how you would have done it different or what the right protocol would have been or when are we allowed to speak? When are we not allowed to speak? What is it going to look like moving forward? Because I think it would have been constructive and I think it would have been a teachable moment. But instead, it felt like an attack. It looked like an attack. It sounded like an attack. And I understand that love covers a multitude of sins.
Well, it looks like a dictator. It sounds like a dictator. And I think we're being dictated to.
Well, you know, that's a great liberal line. It's a teachable moment. The fact of the matter is, this was never a problem until Audette got on as the mayor. The planning commissioner, you know, had presented to the city council, and it was never a problem. She gets in there, and she's offended to the end of the world and wants to fire the guy.
You gotta remember, though, the city attorney and this Jeremy fellow, they didn't want the planning commission's opinion up there. They suggested they not go to the meeting.
No, I know that.
And I think somebody else needs to do some apologizing.
As do I, because that's the exact reason the planning commission exists, is to plan what's going to happen in the city of Reading. And if they're not allowed to give their opinion to the city council, why do we have one? I mean, and then, you know, Mrs. Audet, why don't you just go ahead and just say the rodeo grounds are now property of the McConnell Foundation. That's really where this is going. That's my opinion.
And the Shasta County Rodeo's moving down to Cottonwood.
Well, I say that would teach people.
Wouldn't it?
Well, I tell you what.
So we've got one more clip. This is Tanessa. It's only, it's a short clip, 40 seconds. Let's go.
I still haven't gotten an answer of what is the admonishment when someone steps out of line in the planning commission. What do you do? And if you think that I go say that I had the conversation and I asked him point blank, if it's a miscommunication issue, did I misunderstand? Do you think that they colluded to prevent you from talking? And he did not respond to that. There was no answer. And I said, that's my answer, that you really believe that that happened. So address that. I know he has subsequently met with Jeremy and with Christian, and I hope that that was resolved. But I think Jeremy deserves an apology for what you said on the dais. I do. I think your voice is very powerful.
So, Tanessa isn't giving it up. She's got tenacity.
Not well.
I might be wrong, but I'm shoving it down your throat.
Well, once her and Winters stole the mayorship from Mr. Mazzano, it gave them all the power, the 3-2 vote they needed, and she's going to ring that horse all the way to the finish line. And I think this one, from some people that I spoke to this week, picking on Mr. Hatch is probably not the best decision she's going to make in her political career. Apparently, he's been around a while. He knows a lot of people. And what I heard is he actually is genuinely, you know, a pretty good guy, is what I was told, from people that I have some respect for, you know, in their opinion. And so I think she might have bitten off more than she can chew on this one.
Yeah, well, they'll forget about it. It's past. Let's move forward.
Well, yeah.
Everybody vote. Are we going to give away the posse grounds?
Yeah, that should be the Planning Commission's entire motion for the next year. Just only meetings are we giving away the rodeo grounds and put it on public record? And I'm guessing the two new guys are going to say yes.
So I had a situation at my house. I hired a guy, a friend of mine, that was he claimed to be a contractor, and I hired him to move an electrical line. It was from the corner of my house out to a workshop, probably about 60 foot, and I was never comfortable with it because it was only about 8 foot off the ground, the low spot, and it was on the lowest part of the roof. So I hired this guy to come and move it to the highest part of the roof, and that satisfied me. Well, he had to go up in the attic, and I turned on the heat here at the start of winter, and wasn't much heat coming out, so I looked up there to see what was wrong. Well, this guy had caved in the ducting. Mm. And then I look, and I see this electrical wire, this big stuff, just laying on the ground with no conduit, and I thought, man, this isn't right. This isn't good. So I asked a friend of mine, Steve, who's a contractor, who would be a good electrician? Does he know somebody to come over and fix this for me? And he did. His name is Garrett McHale. And he came over and he did a class A job. He gave me a price and I said, okay, it needs to be done. Go ahead. And he worked a couple hours more than what he had figured on labor. He didn't charge me. He stuck to his price.
Oh, good.
He's a licensed contractor. And I told him to type up a little something, and I'd read it to him on the radio. The thing is, he can come over and fix a light socket, or he can rewire an industrial complex. This guy is an electrician.
Oh, excellent.
McHale Electric and Custom Lighting is a full-service electrical contractor serving the North State. McHale Electric is dedicated to providing high-quality electrical service to both residential and commercial clients across our community. And I'll vouch for that. McHale Electric is equipped to handle all your electrical needs, from routine maintenance to complex installations, custom work, and emergency repairs. From initial consultation to final inspection, you can trust McHale Electric to deliver superior service with a personal touch. For a free estimate for your commercial or residential project, you are just a phone call away. Call us today at 530-917-9559. That's 530-917-9559. 9-9. And you can call me if you haven't got the number. I'm in the phone book. You just dial 911 and they'll find me.
Phone book, is that the one where they chiseled it into granite and we handed it out to Fred and Barney? You're in that still?
Yeah, but don't look under Nick Gardner. Look under old guy on the radio.
And you know what, folks? I'll put this out there. We don't have any paid sponsors, so that was not a paid sponsor. Nick really means that this guy was that good. So it's like when I said in, I think, our last show that I recently went to the Roadrunner Grill in Shasta Lake City, and it was just great tacos, phenomenal tacos. So we don't have paid sponsors. When we give an endorsement, it's because we actually really either had great service or great food. So,
and I want to say thank you, Garrett, for doing a good job.
Oh, there you go.
I peeked up there, and he did an A1 Class A job.
See, and he's thanking you. That's a big thing from Nick. It takes a lot from him.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. Hang on. We'll be back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Celebrate 31 years with us at Wind River Resort and Casino and join us for our $30,000 anniversary Swipe to Win drawing. Swipe your River Club card daily to win free slot play, free drawing entries, or other instant prizes. Play any of your favorite slot machines and table games with your River Club card to earn entries. Join us for weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. for your chance to win free slot play or up to $3,100 cash. For complete details, see WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The Shasta College summer term will start June 10th, and priority registration has started. Contact a counselor and check out all the cool classes being offered this summer. Get a jump start on a degree or certificate, or get transfer ready by taking one of the many classes held this summer at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/admissions to get started.
They disdain the people. If the Democrats had put half their energy into delivering for the people, Trump wouldn't even have a chance in 2024. He shouldn't have a chance. You've had power for 4 years. From the fabricated Steele dossier to trying to take him off the ballot in both Maine and Colorado, the Democrats are the anti-Democrat party. All we need now is the Republicans to come out as the pro-monarchist party. Ladies and gentlemen, populism is not a threat to democracy, but I'll tell you what is. It's elites ordering social media to censor political opponents. It's police shutting down dissenters, be it anti-monarchists in this country or gender-critical voices here, or last week in Brussels, the National Conservative movement. I'll tell you what is a threat to democracy. It's Brussels, DC, Westminster, the mainstream media, big tech, big pharma, corporate collusion, and the Davos cronies. The threat to democracy comes from those who write off ordinary people as deplorable. The threat to democracy comes from those who smear working people as racist. The threat to democracy comes from those who write off working people as populists. And I'll say one last thing. This populist age can be brought to an end at the snap of a finger. All that needs to be done is for elites to start listening to, respecting, and, God forbid, working for ordinary people. Thank you.
part of a 13-minute clip I found, and Nancy Pelosi was in the audience, and she interrupted him a couple of times because he was on their Democrats' rear end, the liberals' rear end, pretty heavy. That was in Oxford.
Well, you know, it sounds very similar to the speech that Javier Milei gave to the WEF, World Economic Forum. And he went in there with a blowtorch and propane and blew that place up. And, I mean, his speech was just flawless. I mean, he just called everything that all the problems in the world are being caused by them. And it was brilliant. And so this guy's awesome just to hear people actually saying it now in their face, because that's the thing about the cancer that is liberalism. And all liberalism is cancer. There's not one good policy, politician, idea, thing they believe in that stands common sense, grandma's reasoning. And if you're not willing to call it what it is, you can't defeat it. You can't call cancer, you've got a sickness problem. You can't call, you know, a heart problem, you've got a big toe. You have to call the sickness what it is. And liberalism is a disease, and it's destroying the Western world.
The whole world.
Well, it's destroying the Western world, because I can tell you, Leo, our former third host for a while, third wheel, he's in Thailand, and he says that right now there's not a lot of wokeism going on in Asia. So that's what he said. So anyways, continue on, Nick.
Well, you know, the supervisors got a letter from state attorney general that they found no corruption in the Zog fire.
BS.
Well, the thing is the way the record searchlight worded
this. Yes.
Supervisors Cry and Jones made the Zog fire settlement a matter of intense public scrutiny and portrayed themselves as public servants who were bringing light to the potential corruption of the DA with regard to that settlement. That's a completely false statement. Kevin Cry himself said, this settlement is done. We can't go back. Stephanie Bridget had the right to disperse those funds how she saw fit.
And she enriched one of her own things by, what, $400,000? And I say one of her things, one of her charities or where she's on the board.
$7.2 million.
Well, no, for the place out in Bella Vista, they got $7 million? No, I thought they got $400,000 for that.
Oh, that's the farm.
Yeah, and that's where she's on the board of directors, whatever. But continue.
Oh, no, you're talking the Children's Legacy Center.
Oh.
She's on the board of directors, as is a few other prominent people. Bill Shuler's on there. I'm trying to think of that chick's name that ran against Kevin for supervisor.
Resner,
she's on there. Some people that quit the city, the county have wound up there, and they got $7.2 million. Supervisors Cry and Jones made, hang on. The fact is they chose not to reveal the existence of the letter. Okay, so this letter came out, a month and a half ago or so. This is from a guy named, Jeff Gorder. I call him Billy Goat Jeff. From now on, we'll refer to him as the Billy Goat. Supervisors Cry and Jones made the Zog fire settlement a matter of intense public scrutiny, portrayed themselves as public servants. The fact that they chose not to reveal the existence of this letter that exonerated the DA, it didn't exonerate her, she was never accused of anything, before the March 5 election must be investigated to determine the reason why the decision was made. The only reasonable course of action seems to be the appointment of an outside investigator to look at this issue. The lack of transparency regarding the handling of the Attorney General's letter pertaining to the Zog fire investigation is disturbing. The public has yet to receive a satisfactory answer as to why the letter was not immediately disclosed when it was received by the county. The only reasonable explanation we're left with at this time is that there was a decision to bury the letter because of the impact it might have on the March 5 election. Hey, you know, it seems like there was a Hunter Biden laptop that was buried, so it didn't affect the election. Hey, what comes around goes around, Holmes Skillet.
Well, you know, and I got to be honest with you, I don't put any weight, zero, on what the Attorney General has determined, because this is a guy who won't prosecute crimes, homeless people, immigrants, has not supported the police, and all of a sudden he's the one that's going to say that Bridget did a great job. And the judge that was involved in that particular case, as soon as the case was dismissed against PG&E, was appointed a judge, or not a judge, the lawyer who was working for Stephanie. As soon as the case was dismissed or found PG&E not liable, was awarded a judgeship. I'm telling you, Cry and Jones know that there's a lot of smoke in that fire.
Now, let's back up a second. The prosecuting attorney would be a deputy prosecuting attorney. It went to a judge, and they found that they had enough evidence to prosecute, so it was appealed. And when it went to the appeals court, the judge, some of the evidence wasn't there.
Yes.
And
it was withheld, oddly enough. That would have showed 100% overwhelming that that particular tree in question had been sited for 5 years before the fire actually started.
And so that's where the thoughts of corruption come in. And that judge threw it out because there wasn't enough evidence in his opinion.
Yep.
And then that prosecuting attorney, he's a judge here in a week.
He retires and is immediately given a judgeship along with 17 other whack job liberal judges throughout the state of California. And you want to see quid pro quo Joe? That is it. And so I think that there's definitely more to this story. And this AG's report to me means nothing. It doesn't have any weight because the liberals are just corrupt from the top to the bottom. And I think that Jones and Cry had a right to ask, how did that money? And then when you think about the fact that these folks in the Zog fire, they were almost given nothing. I mean,
$200,000.
$200,000 from $50 million is what the actual victims of the fire were given, and everything else went out to Stephanie Bridget pet projects, including the family one you mentioned for $7.2 million.
The Family Legacy Center, which is a really good place.
I believe that.
I went and knocked them. They do really good work. Let's see. The fire department got about $5 million. Okay, fine and dandy. Each one of the police departments, the sheriff, Anderson and Redding, they got a big chunk of money. I can't see where they. Anyway, the footprint of the fire, they got about $200,000, and that's it.
Yeah.
But nobody called that corrupt.
Well, no, and that's amazing.
Kevin and Joan said from day one she had the right to do that. They just questioned her judgment on how she dispersed the funds. The corruption was when it got thrown out of court.
Yes. Again, under her supervision.
The criminal part of it.
Well, under her supervision. That gentleman was rewarded a judgeship by letting PG&E, who happens to be the largest single donor to Gavin Newsom. Connect the docs, folks. It's not that hard. It really is not that difficult. So, Nick, I know you've got some clips coming up, but you started off our conversation before the show. Apparently, you are two people. You are apparently two people.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well,
I did not know that there's two of you. If I knew there's two of you, I would have two co-hosts and cut my cost down by half.
Well, you know, it's been a pretentious subject at the supervisors' meeting on who is going to replace Kathy Darling Allen.
Yes.
And I went to the last meeting, and I've got an envelope right here with my name on it. It says official ballot in here. I took my ballot in February 20th, and I went to the elections office, and the machines weren't running, and they said, we're going to put it in this box, and we're going to count it when the machines are up and running. So a month later, I'm going through envelopes and stuff on my desk, and here's a ballot made out to me.
A second one.
So I call him up. I said, did my ballot get counted? Oh, yes. You turned it in February 2nd. It's counted. Yes. Well, why do I have another ballot here?
Crickets, crickets, crickets.
You know, and I guess we're just supposed to not worry about that. Probably I'm the only one in Shasta County that got an extra ballot. I can't imagine.
What are the odds, Nick? You're the only one.
And like I said to the supervisors, this is an indication of a shoddy run system, elections department. Now, I talked to Joanne Frescott. I believe that's how you pronounce her last name. She treated me wonderfully. She was nice. She was helpful. She answered all the questions. And I pointed out that she is not the ROV. She works for the ROV. So you can't point the finger at her. Her job is to carry out what Kathy Darling Allen told her. And now they're getting ready to find another replacement. The supervisors are going to appoint one. They're going to, I believe they're going to have a public question and answer. And I think Joanna will have as much opportunity as anybody for that job. But what do we want?
Well, it's funny. You shared a letter that was apparently put in the record search light about some lady exposing or extolling the virtues of Kathy Darlin Allen. Kathy Darlin Allen is a George Soros-loving person. She did a presentation last year at the Spy Museum, so let's get that out and make sure that everybody understands she supports George Soros. End of story. It's provable. It's a fact. Moving forward, this lady in her story or her letter says that we need to hire someone who knows the nuances of the election. Ma'am, the ROV has two jobs, clean voter rolls and honest counting. So you need to know math, and you got to go through and make sure that dead people are not on the thing and that you don't send Nick Gardner two ballots. And anybody else in Shasta County, two ballots. There's no nuance about it. There's no mystery. There's no gray smoke. It is a mathematic position. It is an honesty position. And whoever it is, I don't care your politics. Just know how to add honestly and make sure the voter rolls are clean. And if you do that, the elections don't need to be questioned. That's all the register of voter has to do. End of story. There's no other job description in that has to be done.
But these progressives, it's the recall people. They're still there. They just make ridiculous statements. Let's play this clip off of this one. This gal was going up the podium, and some gal behind me said, "Here's Mimi." And I thought,
so you brought up the Attorney General letter regarding the DA's performance on the Zog fire. So that's going to free up my open time comment. I try to keep it professional up here, but I'm just so disgusted. I'm two clicks away from going full Dolores on all of you. Supervisor Jones and Cry, you both ran on transparency. You both used rhetoric in your campaigns, you to fight off your recall and you to get reelected on your crusade against the DA, the corrupt DA. Kevin, you were going to ride in on your white horse and save this county from evil PG&E and a corrupt or inept DA. You had a duty to release that letter to the public. You're derelict in that duty. Let's not forget, Mr. Cry, this was your brainchild. You started this. You asked the county for $10,000 to craft that letter to the Attorney General complaining about the district attorney. The county didn't spend any money. Thank goodness the county had the wisdom not to spend any money on this witch hunt. You're both derelict in your duties and dishonest and corrupt. The public demands answers and an apology. Thank you.
So there you go. There's one of the recall people up there making false accusations. Kevin wanted some money to get an attorney to look into the lack of prosecution, the appeal that was turned down. No, we can't prosecute. He wanted to look in and find out, you know, how this evidence didn't get in there and see if there was some corruption there.
Well, and you know,
nothing to do with the settlement.
Well, and you know what? That's first off. They get to lie about everything, but let's just call a spade, these freaking liberal idiots. It was okay when the Hunter Biden story turned out to be, number one, 100% true. It had all the stuff to prove treason, so President Joe should be sitting in a rotten jail or worse. And that was fine. That was fine for liberals to withhold that information that has destroyed our country because we're stuck with that piece of crap as our president. And yet, here's a letter from what I think is a corrupt AG, and it's my opinion, but I think that there is a lot of facts that are not adding up correctly, if you get my gist. And here she is going on about how Kevin Cry and them withheld it. Well, you know what? You withheld the Hunter Biden. Like you said, Nick, turnabout fair play.
I would have withheld it too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't do anything. It's just, it's crazy that these people get to do that. They get to throw crap at the fan and stand back and watch the disaster.
You know, if we had an honest media, it probably wouldn't have got withheld. But you know how the media spins things, especially here locally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. I sit in these meetings and I hear what's said and I go read about it in the paper and they went to a different meeting than I did. Hey, let's hear that second clip. This is Kim Moore getting back at her. Come on.
Some of you guys need to wake up about the Attorney General and what's really happening in California.
Well, one thing is, as we talk about money and we talk about, and I will respond because the impact fees, as that was shot down at, three times before it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled and bounced it back. So, I'll leave it at that.
Ruled in Kevin's favor. Go.
Consider options related to the vacancy of the county clerk, register of voters position, and consider providing direction to staff. Monica Fugit, welcome back.
Okay, I guess we're done with that. I thought there was a little bit more. So Kim Moore was talking about how they had put people in prison and jail on flimsy evidence and that kind of stuff. And so there's a gal here, her name's Susan, and I put this clip in here because I just found it quite interesting. Kevin kind of throws a little hook at her. So let's go with this last clip here.
Honor students would do a wonderful job, and there's a lot of community members under 30 that would jump at the chance to hand count. So peace, love, and waterbeds. Have a good day.
Susan Weiss, David Halligan, Teresa Roberts, Don Duckett.
Thank you. I'm here in support of you selecting Joanna for the job. I feel like two of you have said that she's done a good job. Mr. Cry and Mr. Jones have both said she's done a good job publicly, and she has. I don't think we can take the time in this county to search for an election denier. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, we're going to have a hard time. And looking for the qualifications that Monica pointed out you're looking for, there's a lot to it. I mean, I was shocked at what they have to really be able to do. Joanna already knows how to do it. She's come up before you, answered all your questions very well, handled all the stress of all the things you've asked her to do. And I said this before to you. We spent a year and a half hearing testimony about, I got a ballot, I did this, I saw them do that. We've had an election committee for a year and a half. Where's the proof? We can't keep going on with just, I saw this, I saw that. Where is the proof that we have problems in our election department? And Kevin, if you want to collaborate, let's start collaborating with the citizens about how we can make it better. But for heaven's sakes, is it time to turn me off? Is that what you said?
No, I said you want me to collaborate with one to try to recall me.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, yeah, we can collaborate. Yes, absolutely. I'm saying that we can't keep on this track. Constant chaos, constant uproar. We have, like Kevin.
You know, it would cut the chaos if all the recallers stayed home. Kevin said something to the effect, yeah, you guys really wanted to collaborate when you tried to recall me.
Well, yeah, and again, this just goes to show the idiocy that is liberalism, is for many elections, there are, if not hundreds, if there's not thousands of tapes of prominent Democrats talking about election denying, the results are corrupt and this and that, and that was fine. They were allowed to say that. As soon as we say, as the conservatives, hey, this doesn't add up. President Trump was leading in every state, and the next morning we wake up and he's losing in all the same states. And we go, that seems odd that all of them turned exactly to the same percentage overnight while we were asleep. they say that, that we're just election deniers. Well, it's funny. Again, the shoe's on the other foot, and it really does suck if you got to be honest with you, because they now get to see what they dished out to us, and for her to continue going on with that, where's the proof? That's the problem. We've had a ton of proof, but no judge has the huevos or the backbone to actually listen to a case, because they don't want to be that judge. They don't want to be the judge that actually opens the floodgate to what will be proven to be massive corruption from the liberal Democrats.
Yeah. And
then Nick right here, we just talked about it.
Yeah. Extra ballot for Nick.
So, ma'am, if you want to come by the station, Nick has his second ballot. He'll hand it to you, and there's at least one piece of proof.
Oh, she'd run off with it and throw it in the dump. I didn't say nothing.
Nick printed that up himself.
There you go.
Oh, gosh. You know, Nick, you wake up every day, and I try to really stay on top of what it is, so that when we have our show on our Sundays or when I get to go do my 1 hour with Carl, I don't want to be just some bloviating white middle-class guy. So are all you racists, that's what I am. I don't want to be that guy who's out there just bloviating and giving my unfettered opinion. I try to base it on as much verifiable information as I can, and I look at the sources, and sometimes the sources are actually, oddly enough, New York Post and places like that where you're like, But when they come out with their stuff and they cite things, I go check the cited things as much as that. And you hear this stuff where they're accusing us of exactly what they've done, And they sound indignant that we are saying, look, that's not right. And then now they're like, oh, well, you know, there's no proof. No, there's a mountain of proof. You guys just don't want to hear it.
Well, it's like, you know, we went to bed and Trump was way ahead, and we woke up, he's way behind, and they were putting up pizza boxes over windows so you couldn't view in, and plywood up, and no, you can't watch the count.
And videos showing them pulling boxes and boxes out under tables that had skirts on them in the middle
nothing
of the night.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Oh, no.
And then if you watch 2000 Yules, and they have all the video. The evidence is beyond overwhelming. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. But no judge has had the huevos to take it on. And that's the thing. Because everyone's like, oh, well, it's never won in court. It's never had a day in court. That's the big deal. And so now this lady's sitting there talking about it's a very complicated job. No, it's not. You are a manager of people. You add votes. And you make sure the voter rolls are clean. That is it. And whether it is a pygmy, short person of any race or gender, I don't care. Just do that job honestly, and I'll support you 100%.
Voter ID. We need voter,
voter ID. Absolutely. I would say that that's got to be number one, but that's unfortunately not allowed by California law.
Well, it's going to be interesting when they start questioning the candidates to replace Kathy Darling Allen.
Well, and I will say this, and I mean, I'm not endorsing anybody, but I mean, Kevin and Patrick seem to think this lady's pretty good, and you just said you interact with her. She's pretty good. So, you know what? She's done her time. Maybe, unlike Mazzano, we might want to give her a try.
Well, I don't know. We want to pick the right one.
Well, that's
true.
To start
with, and if she's got the right answers,
there you go.
That's fine. But if somebody else has better answers, they're a better candidate.
Well, I think the first question should be 2 + 2, and let them answer. Because that's all the voting is. You got to vote in, and it goes to that candidate or that cause, and you move on to the next vote. It's not a terribly complicated process, to be honest with you, Nick, but somehow they've managed to make a very simple process extremely difficult.
You know, I listened to the liberal show, the new liberal show. It's on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock.
Oh, yes, yes. Carl had a little promotion when I was with him the other day.
And they did a really good job.
Oh, good.
They didn't get into specifics too much. It was more of an introduction. And they did say that they had a whole bunch of guests that are wanting to come on. So it might get quite interesting. But I think what they did find out is it's the pits to be here, and you run out of something to talk about.
Fortunately for you and I never have that problem, because, I mean, we could have started the show with something, and by the time we get to the end, you've completely forgotten. It's brand new information for you.
That's right. Getting old has its assets. No, they did a good job. I got something I want to leave you with. We're about done. A Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This doesn't give you the right to have a gun. God gave you that right. This is telling the government they don't have the right to take that away from you.
Yep. And we're going through the now new process of getting the CCW, and thought we were done, and then SB2 came out, and now we've got to go through more training and more this and that to legally carry something that we are guaranteed in the Constitution. It's pretty clear, shall not be infringed. But somehow liberals are put in there, except when it comes to AK-47.
The amendments are telling the government what it can't do.
I know, and they've done it. And they keep trying to do it. And California is leading the cause to try and do it more. Take more stuff from us. They want to infringe on our rights.
Yes.
So don't give up your guns, folks. That's the last step when tyranny takes over. And Australia and Canada pretty much have gotten rid of guns. In Europe, I can tell you, having lived in Europe, they don't have guns anywhere, quote-unquote, unless you're in a gun club. And yet the criminals all have guns. So just keep and bear.
Who would have thought that?
Have a great Sunday, people. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
If you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns.
I've been waiting to hold. Been waiting on your call. Your phone rings. It's just a friend of mine to see.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.